A Motorsport Podcast Network production.
The Brad Jones Racing Rundown with Chris Westwood and Macaulay Jones.
Kia ora, race fans, and welcome to episode 7 of the BJR Rundown podcast for 2024. I'm back in the driving seat, and it's nice to see you again, young Macaulay Jones. How's things?
Yeah, no, ticking along pretty well. Feels like it's been a very long time since the last race at AGP, because it probably has been a little while, but filling the time up, yeah, with plenty of stuff, so there's always something going on here.
Yeah, I agree. It has been an eternity since we raced around the streets of Albert Park in Melbourne there as part of the F1 circus, but it's exciting to know we're about to fly over to New Zealand and race at a new venue for supercars.
Yeah, which is exciting. I mean, it's, I think I've said this before, but it's not very often now we get to go to a new circuit that, you know, most of us in the field at least haven't actually raced around. So which is really cool. I mean, yeah, it's when you were in karting, you would go to new tracks all the time around the country, but, you know, you get to the point where you've probably been to them all, and it's always exciting to get to go to a new one and get back to New Zealand as well.
So here's a question for you. If you could add any circuit in the world to a supercar calendar, obviously it's hugely hypothetical, what circuit would you add?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, there's probably a few that I definitely would love to go to, like Laguna Seca or Spa or the Nürburgring. Like, they're probably your pretty standard ones. I don't think these things would have the turning circle to get around Monaco, but... Yeah, those other tracks probably excite me. Probably more like American racing. So,
yep.
Laguna Seca would be cool. Or yeah.
Yep, nice one. But we're off to Taupo International Motorsport Park, or the Bruce McLaren Motorsport Park. It's around 3.5 kilometres in length, and is located on the North Island of New Zealand. Now, you recently cut some laps over there. How did you find it?
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, I've done a little bit of racing over there in 2013 with the Toyota Racing Series, which was the series that you'd race every weekend for 5 weeks straight at different tracks. So we started at the bottom of the South Island in Invercargill and pretty much made our way up to the North Island 1 week at a time. So mm-hmm. I really like the tracks over there. They're pretty narrow and some of the surfaces are pretty old, but I actually really enjoyed driving around it. We drove around it in a Toyota Camry.
With a hat on the parcel shelf.
Yeah, but it was a Super Tourer, so they're a lot of fun. It's probably more similar to the supercar side of things, maybe a little bit slower and a slightly different tire and power, but as you know, as close as we could really get to a supercar, and you know, we learned a lot there. I went, me and Andre were there, and Bryce was there in an 86 as well. So. Plenty of opportunity to do laps, and it was cool. I actually really enjoyed the track. It's gonna be an interesting one for us to head there. I think there's gonna be a huge amount of deg, which is exciting, I think, because mm-hmm. the passing is a little bit limited with how tight the track is, although there definitely will be some passing. It's gonna be some bumper to bumper racing though.
Yep, nice one. You said it's gonna be tight racing. Do you expect, like, how many cars can we go into a corner and get around it? Or is it like two cars and the third one's on the grass? What sort of...
Oh, yeah. You will not want to go three wide. Yep. You will definitely end up in the grass or the sand trap, I think. But there is a few opportunities to pass for sure. I think the deg is going to be the most interesting part of that with the tyre deg. I mean, we have the 90-minute practice to start with, which is a bit unique and supercars have recently announced that they're not really going to be doing that again. I don't really love the idea of it. I think mm-hmm. especially when you're going to New Zealand, so the way that our tyres work, we can't actually bring any old tyres there. So it's not like we have a bit more excess of rubber. So we have two sets of tyres and we have to start on one set of new ones. So when you're rolling out the gate, you'll be on greens and then you'll have the opportunity to throw one other set of green or new tyres at it throughout the 90 minutes. But with the deg being, you know, predicted to be pretty high, it's going to throw a bit of a spanner in the works there, because you're going to have to make that first set last as long as possible to then mm-hmm. get on the second set. So you're going to have to be a bit strategic with how you want to, place your tyre management in just practice even. And so then that will show up in the race, the Deg, for sure. I think that'll definitely open up some passing opportunities with different cars either doing slightly different strategies, although I don't think there's going to be a heap of strategy, but you'll see a little bit of a mix there. And then just trying to race, you know, it's going to be, bumper to bumper, I think. You know,
So sorry to cut you off. So with the tyre thing, it's because to save double handling, the tyres are coming from Japan straight to New Zealand staying in New Zealand rather than come here then take them over?
Yeah. And so that's a little bit of a unique one with that. I mean, we can't pick all the dirt and all the grass out of the rubber once they've cooled down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing for like even just quarantining that side of things. I mean, even to get the cars over there, you have to clean them. There can't be any, you know, grass or dirt going on the cars just to save any contamination going from, you know, international circuits. So that's a big thing in like GT racing. But for us, you know, we'll go over there. All the Dunlop tyres will be there ready for us to go.
Mm-hmm. And we had to send the cars with a brand new set of wets as well.
Yeah, and so they're actually the older style wet, the harder tyre wet, which we'll be driving into town from the circuit to Taupo's main town, which is really cool. It's really unique. It's the first time supercars have done something like that with all the cars. We did a little bit of a demo at Bathurst at the first round of the season where we had four or five cars driving into town, but yeah, we'll be doing that on those old wet tyres. So we'll obviously be very restricted how fast we can go into town, unfortunately. But it makes sense. So that'll be really cool for the fans, you know, in town. I think, you know, Taupo's a little bit out of Auckland. It's about a 3-hour drive down. So, you know, I think we're going to attract a lot of fans that'll be coming to the town and be able to have a look at us on the Thursday in town and then also come out over the weekend.
I imagine that's going to mess with the engineers in terms of setting up the car for a road-based run into town there.
Yeah, make sure the ride heights are all good to go for the potholes on the way.
Yep, don't say that out too loud. Speaking of the fans, how do you feel the track is going to be for the fans? Do you think it's, from driving around, do you think it's a pretty good viewing track for racing?
Yeah, it is really, really cool. I mean, there's a slight bit of undulation in the track, not heaps, but they've set up a heap of grandstands at the circuit. There's a fair bit of like mounds on the side where the back straight is. You can park up there with your chair and be ready to go for the day. So you pretty much can see the whole circuit from almost anywhere on the sidelines. So I think as a viewing track, it's going to be really cool for the spectators there, and the numbers that they've predicted that are coming is pretty large. You know, it was always going to be a little bit of a odd one just because, you know, Pukekohe was pretty close to Auckland. It was, you know, within an hour drive. So that was a pretty easy one to get to for people that were in Auckland. But, you know, Taupo is proving to be a good move for them.
So they can bring their chili bins and sit up on the hill in their chairs.
100%. Then. Yeah.
But it's going to be fresh, so no jandals or whatever they call it.
Oh, I think they're probably used to the cold.
True.
You'll definitely see some jandals kicking around.
I think it's going to drop to like 13 or 14, so that's going to be a bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah, I mean, that's New Zealand, really. I mean, it was pretty fresh when we were over there. There was no rain when we were there a week or two ago, and it was a beautiful day, actually. So hopefully that comes with the weather this time, but we'll see. I mean, weather is always pretty intermittent when we race in New Zealand in the past. I mean, especially at Pukekohe, you would not see the rain on the radar. It would come in, it would dump on the track, and then it would, you know, dry within an hour. And so it was very hit and miss. So that the weather plays a part over there every time we've been there.
Absolutely. So going racing overseas is a huge logistical exercise, and it's far different from racing throughout Australia. For starters, we don't have our Mack truck transporters and all the things that we can take in that. And I mean, when I say everything, everything has to be flown across to New Zealand. And so it's all prepared, all our parts and so forth is put in special aircraft containers. The cars are, like you said, cleaned and stripped back to a point and then delivered to Avalon, where they're put on a huge freighter and flown across. So Brad recently did one of his videos around this, but could you just expand a little bit more on what's involved? You've been around long enough now and you've seen, we've had to fly.
Packed plenty of containers back when I was a mechanic. And yeah, I mean, we've had these containers for quite a while now. So we've got a pretty good solid setup. I mean, we actually have pretty much the toolboxes that are in the truck where all our spare nuts and bolts and stuff, we pretty much bring the drawers out of them, put them in the toolboxes that mm-hmm. we roll in. And so we've made it as diverse as possible to go from the truck pretty much to the container yep. and make it as efficient as possible. So it does take a bit of Tetris to make sure that they're fitting all right. I mean, they're limited by weight as well. So you yes. have to be a bit careful with what you pick and choose to bring, you know, like some of the seats that the engineers want to stand around the data station.
Stools.
The stools there. Unfortunately, they won't be coming, or some of them will be, but we've got to be limited on the weight as well and the space, obviously. So, I mean, Brad, yeah, definitely did the video recently on how we did pack them, and that's always pretty interesting. I mean, just because New Zealand's the only flyaway round we do, it's not the only round we use the containers for, though. We actually use them at Newcastle because of the back of the pits there was so limited, and the same with Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. We can't actually get the trucks in, so the trucks get parked 20 minutes away. So
SeaWorld.
So yeah, they're at SeaWorld for the Gold Coast, and we have the containers a bit closer by, so then we can go back and forth from the containers. So yep. we would actually almost treat those rounds like we would a flyaway round, except we can actually take a few things in the truck, which generally was more the panels and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we would, you know, have our third spares in the truck still, and not have, because we didn't have the access to them or the room behind the garages as well. So that's it's, I would say it's a pretty down packed system. I think, you know, over the years we've developed it and packed efficiently, and we're pretty ready for that. So
yep,
you know, that I guess a couple of the differences, like bringing solvents and stuff over there, like car cleaning products or brake clean and stuff, you're a little bit limited with that. So some things we actually are buying over there. Mm-hmm. Catering is another big thing. Obviously yep. we cater for around 30 to 40 people every round. So, you know, our chef will come over to New Zealand, but we'll hire the equipment over there. And that's a little bit of a nightmare at times, just trying to work that side of things. Normally we have a big setup with Absolutely. All our catering, and
yep.
we take it, you know, the toaster and the urn and the kettle and whatnot cool to take room. Over there in the cool yeah. room. So we don't have that access to that, but we've sort of organizing all that side of things even, which is probably the stuff we don't often want to think about, but we have to.
Just on the equipment, we better be wary, because there'll be some grumpy engineers as the coffee machine yeah. will not be on hand, and no. they'll have to go into the trucker dust.
Yeah, and that didn't fit in the container, although they were fighting for it. But yeah, it's that's probably a bit of a challenge. I think hopefully they have blend 43 or whatever that stuff is over there.
International dirt.
At least it's the same anywhere you go.
Exactly.
Like McDonald's.
Exactly. That's actually grown in Queensland. The international...
Is it?
Well, yeah, whatever that one is anyway.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a great job by all our guys, the Tetrising, as you said, but every item has to be weighed. There's someone sitting there on a spreadsheet calculating it as we're going, because each of those containers can only hold 3 tonne. So... Yep. It's a good measure on our accuracy of our scales, and well, I'm sure they're on their way there
yeah,
now, so it obviously passed.
We're all good.
That's it. Now, in terms of general supercar news, it's been really good to see the reigning champion, Brody Kostecki, return to Erebus, and he'll be racing over there at Taupo. Now, whilst we obviously don't want him getting in the way of our success, want to wish him all the best for his return.
Yeah, honestly, I was shocked. I think that caught a lot of people out of the blue. I mean, yeah, I wasn't too sure when or if he was going to be coming back at all this season. And when it dropped, I was like, I was pretty surprised, which, you know, it's a good surprise. I mean, it's definitely good to see him back in the series. I mean, you know, you never want that situation where he feels the need to sit out or whatever was going on behind the scenes there. And I'm, you know, stoked that they sorted out. I'm a bit bummed for Todd Sorry. Hazelwood getting moved aside, but I mean, I'm sure he was, you know, aware of what was going on, or hopefully he was aware of what was going on, and you know, he was got that lifeline there at the start of the season. So yeah, I wish them all the best, and hopefully they're all good to go with Erebus, and it's a bit cleaner run. I mean, it's a bit of a shame for Boost Mobile to be jumping out, but you know, fortunately that's part of the casualty of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we'll be running a new livery for the 96 over there in New Zealand. Wendy's, a fast food burger place out of the US. It's also in New Zealand, and coming to Australia soon. So give us a bit of insight into what the car's going to look like.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one. This one has been in the pipeline for a little while now. I've got a suit that we've got as well, which is pretty funny, actually. So Wendy sponsor a NASCAR team with Daniel Suarez the start of the season. So we've sort of piggybacked on the back of their design of suit. So that's kind of cool.
You model suits well.
Yeah, I like designing suits. I reckon
you carry them well.
Oh, well, I don't know. I just wear them.
Well, you do.
Thank you. But the car looks really cool. It's going to stand out. Not as much as the SpongeBob car did, no. That's for sure. But it'll stand out really well. I mean, it's cool to be able to change to even, like a different brand, but it's within the same realm of the Flynn Group and Pizza Hut Australia. So that's really exciting. I think, they've got big plans to bring Wendy to Australia, and this is a bit of the kickstart to that program. I mean, hopefully, eventually they end up having one of the container stores at the racetrack and can sell the Wendy's products out of that, like they do for Pizza Hut. You know, we have quite a number of rounds in Australia that you can get Pizza Hut at the racetrack from, which is really cool. You know, we do a bit of activation stuff at the racetrack with that, so it's really cool to have this. We've got, like I said, the suit, the car, and then the crew will also have the shirts to go with it. So we've sort of we've done the whole program for this round, and that's really exciting.
I had your race engineer convinced that he was going to have to wear red pants as well. He wasn't, but I
That would stand out even more.
He was nervous. But, yeah, I don't even know if he's aware that he's not yet. So.
No, we'll find out when we get there.
Yeah. Anyway, look, thanks to Wendy's, and we look forward to seeing that car flying around the track.
Yeah, I'm definitely keen to get behind it. I think it's exciting. Definitely, it looks cool, and it's nice to change it up every now and then.
Absolutely, but it's fun doing that stuff, and we've got some other New Zealand partners on some of the other cars as well. So
we've had quite a solid group of partners in New Zealand for quite some time now. I mean, the New Zealand community love cars, and I feel like they always have. They love their racing. They've been a big part of supercar racing. I mean, there's five Kiwi drivers in the series now, and
two of them are with us.
Yeah, and two of them are with BJR, and you know, I feel like some of BJR's history has had some amazing races over there. You know, with JR and the JR Trophy round, I can remember vividly being there when Bridie won that the first year, and it was a very emotional time for BJR. But like I said, we've had partners over there since a long time, I guess. You know, I couldn't give you the date, but there's plenty of them.
Probably since I was born.
Sure, I don't know about that. Maybe since I was born. You're a bit old.
So, post New Zealand, a lot of the team are staying back. Being in another country, it's a great opportunity to see a few things and experience New Zealand culture and the scenery. It's a beautiful country. Are you hanging around a bit?
Yeah, I've got a couple of days that I'll spend over there. I feel like I'm probably not the greatest tourism ambassador. Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at old things.
You are on the natural side of things.
Oh, look, I like running, so I'll definitely be doing some of that. I'm going to go to Rotorua, which is about an hour out of Taupo. I mean, I really enjoy...
Jump in the mud bath?
No, I will not be doing that. I'll stick to just running on my feet and being on land.
Yep.
Not much of a water person, so...
Well, mud,
either way. So, yeah, I'm going to go sort of adventuring with a couple of the crew. Mm-hmm. There'll be a couple of us running around, and some of the other guys will do some more tourism sightseeing stuff.
Yep.
I'm not probably huge on going to see sights and stuff. I like just running, looking at them for a second whilst I run, and then keep going. So, probably a bit old school with that. But I love New Zealand. It's amazing.
Taupo is... I think there's a bit of jet boating there. There's some. There's obviously a huge lake and a river.
Bungee jumping.
The original bungee jumping there, which Andre recently did.
Yeah, I saw that he went and did that. And he's Jackson. Over there in Queenstown at the moment, actually doing some tourism of his own with his little family there. So yeah, there's plenty of spaces. I mean, I really love New Zealand. Like I said, with the TRS series that I did, we honestly just went from Invercargill, where Bert Munro. If you know who Burt Munro is.
No, sorry.
The World's Fastest Indian.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
an amazing movie. Yeah. And so that, there's a museum there. I like to go on that. See, I like tourism of car
Anthony
and
Hopkins.
Bike stuff. Yeah, and then... yeah, but I haven't seen the Hobbit's Nest or whatever you... What do they call them? The Hobbit's Huts. The Huts, that's right.
Hobbit's Nest.
I don't know.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings. Yeah, those...
Nest.
Whatever. Yeah, the Huts. Anyway, so I'm not... I probably won't
not
go
rats.
See them, but whatever. They're not birds, I suppose, either, but...
I see on the lake foreshore, actually, not far from our accommodation, is... there must be a bit of a geothermal pool, so...
Yeah.
Hot water flows in, so... I plan on getting in there.
Yeah, well, that'd be good. I mean, you like water, so I suppose water. Why not? So, yeah, like I said, I'll stick to the land, and it's probably going to be fresh as over there. So,
yep.
Even if the water is warm, I don't want to get out of it.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. Well, you have a great time.
I will. Thank
you. And you know, you and Harry will be out there running around, and it'll be awesome. There's some beautiful trails over there, so you'll have a great time.
Yeah. I've done a little bit of running over there, but it'd be cool to. Yeah, go expand my running horizons.
Well, enjoy the break, and I hope all of the rest of the team have a well-deserved break over there and see some cool things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, away from the racetrack, how is farm life? I see that on your socials, you're having your never-ending battles with cattle mysteriously jumping fences.
No, it's just the one, and he doesn't actually jump the fence. He goes under it. So he's my grandma's miniature, and... yeah, he likes to go adventuring, which is really frustrating because he just puts his head under the fence and pulls up and busts the fence. So I've been back and forth a bit there trying to organize him. I've set up an electric fence, so he'll be sorted for a little bit, I hope. Otherwise, he'll just find another spot, to be honest. But
I'm sure some of those cows are reborn humans because they're pretty clued up, some of them.
Yeah, he's a pain. But anyway, he looks cool, so that's kind of half the battle, and my grandma loves it, so... That's all that really matters to me. I'll do as much work as I got to if she's stoked. So, yeah, but I'm loving it out there. It's starting to get a bit greener out in Albury, which is nice because it's been really dry.
I've often wondered, actually, when you're on the farm, what sort of attire do you rock?
Oh, the same stuff I wear every day, shorts and a t-shirt.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you don't sort of pull on a pair of boots?
I don't have a pair of flannels or... Yeah, shirts or
don't
like jeans, and sometimes I wear a trucker hat just to fit in. But
is that when the cattle come and do loading?
Yeah, that's exactly. But yeah, otherwise, I've got a set of motorbike gear out there all the time because I've got little 110s that I ride around. I've got a little track, but also whenever the cow gets out, I'm chasing him, rounding up the cattle on the 110.
Yep.
Which is probably would be hilarious to watch because I've got no idea what I'm doing, and there's a lot of blackberry trees, so I'm riding through thorns and crap all the time. It's definitely not an ag bike, but it's very versatile.
We've also got the former dirt bike champion Brad Jones down the road there to help round up things if you need to.
Yeah, he's not very good at that stuff, and he won't get on the bike. I got him to get on the 110 not too long ago, riding around with...
He's nimble.
That's an interesting choice of words. But
on the bike.
I don't know about nimble, especially on a mini bike.
Yep.
You know, I don't think he... I think he actually really enjoyed it. He was riding around with my nephew... who's 10, so that was kind of it was kind of cool to watch because Brad doesn't drive anything anymore, which is annoying. I would like him to drive the Gen 3. I mean, to be honest, he never actually drove the Gen 2 car either. Mm. Once he retired in 09, he pretty much hung up his helmet. He lost it for, I reckon, about 10 years and then came to my house and I had it in a cabinet and he went, I wondered where that was. Mm. I was like, well, I figured I'd take it out of the storage that he had it in and put it on display in my house. But hopefully we can
let's work towards
him.
That let's work towards that this year.
I
think it could be a something.
I don't think so, but he has no interest in it. He's busy enough and probably stressed enough.
Mm.
So
maybe
that's
we'll get
good.
Him the Midi's road Camaro and get him a little bit of that.
He wouldn't even want to drive. He wouldn't want to put K's on it.
That's true. That's true.
He rolls a bit like that. But, I've definitely tried to get him to have a drive of something, you know. But one day I'd like to have the Audi Super Tourer out and be cool for myself to have a drive of it. But to get him in it as well, I think that'd be really cool. Something a bit old school that, you know, he's had a lot of history in. He, you know, put his heart and soul into it in the 90s there with the super touring stuff.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. Now, you were talking earlier this morning about this morning's NASCAR race. Was a
yep.
How'd that roll?
In Texas. That was a really awesome race, actually. I really enjoyed it. It's a funny track. I mean, the different strategies that go on throughout the whole race. It's, you know, someone will go from the front to the back to the back to the front. Mm. And seems like every time there was a whole heap of stuff going on in the middle of the race, they got to the end of the race and the I guess the normal people were up the front.
Yep.
And Chase Elliott had a win, and he hasn't had a win in 43 races. I think there were 42 races, they said. So, you know, he had an injury not too long ago, and so he hadn't won since coming back from that. So that was kind of cool to see him win that. I mean, they had a good battle there, him and Hamlin, and Hamlin went in the fence. And
Okay.
Yep. So there's plenty going on. I love watching NASCAR. It's always some good racing, good strategy, and I would say interesting racing. I think the style of racing over there is so different to the Australian stuff. I mean,
well, it's on an oval predominantly, isn't it?
Well, that and just the way that they bump and run, or, you know, if someone pisses you off enough, you just dump them. And so that style of is an interesting one. I mean, I think, you know, Shane talked about it pretty recently about, you know, having some battles with a couple of guys, and it's like, once, you know, it's a bit of give and take. It's, you know, they're going to hit you and you're going to get hit back. And so it's it's an interesting one. It's just very different to Australian stuff as well.
Yep.
But also they race so much.
Oh,
and the way that their championship is really unique. I mean, with the playoffs, it's like you almost, some people worry about points, but if you win a race, it gives you a bit more opportunity to play around with your strategy or your car set up to try and win another race, because you've already made it into the playoffs when you win one race throughout the regular season. And so the people that are racing for the championship take more risk, which is something, if you haven't seen, with Martinsville a couple of years ago, Ross Chastain railed the fence, just held it wide open, grabbed another gear and passed three cars to make it into the playoffs. And so, although we won't see that again, it was a very unique situation that was brought out by their playoff system. Mm. You know, and that probably won't work in Australian stuff. I mean, they have eight cars per number or per driver throughout the season. So, you know, you can be a bit more dispersible with their cars. So, I mean, it used to be worse. They used to have a lot more cars throughout the season, and they would have short track cars. And
God, there must be some retired cars floating around.
Oh, yeah, there'd be heaps. Yeah. There'd be heaps. I mean, it's kind of an interesting dynamic how the whole NASCAR world works. But, yeah, it'd be cool. I mean, I think, I'm not sure that the playoff system would work here, but I think it's an interesting one.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
For sure. I would love to race a little bit more than what we currently do. Although there's a whole lot of things that need to come together to make that
for
work.
For sure. Speaking of racing, and there was a lot of supercar drivers racing in the Speed Series and the GT spec down at Phillip Island on the weekend.
Or in the Trans Am stuff.
Yeah, so Trans Am as well, yeah. See, Jordan's doing quite well in that, actually.
Yeah, Jordan is going well there. I mean, he sort of jumped into it at the start of the season, and he's doing really well since then. So I think he's sort of found his feet driving at those things. I mean, they're probably, a unique car to drive. I mean, they're a lot different to the supercar. So, but it's good that he's racing something. That's for
absolutely
sure. Yeah, but there's plenty of supercar drivers, whether they're in the GTs or the Trans Am.
Mm-hmm.
There's less in the TCR now, but there was, you know, previously a few supercar drivers doing that kind of stuff.
Yep, sure thing. All right, well, good luck over the ditch, Macca. See you in New Zealand, and thanks very much for the chat.
Yeah, and no, I'm excited. I mean, Taupo is going to be really cool. The atmosphere is always awesome in New Zealand, and definitely excited to get racing again.
Absolutely. Safe travels.
Sweet. Thanks for listening and thanks for the support. Make sure you subscribe to the Motorsport Podcast Network. We're going to be dropping a new episode every second Thursday.